Kicking off a new series today, about 10 days ago, Kelly and I walked out in our backyard. We actually caught a criminal in our backyard. He was trespassing, and we caught him in the act, and luckily, I got a picture of it. Maybe you can help identify it. Do y'all know what this is? Yeah, we didn't know either. That's okay, but Kelly pulled up ChatGPT, and Chat told us pretty quick that this is ragweed. And then it said, hey, by the way, I mean, we didn't ask Chat for this, but it just offered it anyway. It said, you need to get it out of your yard now. Like, you got to get rid of it quickly before it establishes and before it spreads and before its roots go deep. And we were too late, as we discovered over the next few minutes when we began to try to take this out of our yard. The roots were really, really strong, really complex. It was like they went to Home Depot and got some Quikrete before they started growing in our yard. And the next day, I told Kelly, I was like, why is my back so sore? Like, my back hurts. I mean, it was like painful to the touch, the whole thing too, like not just one area. I'm like, what did we do yesterday? And it was like, oh yeah, we were trying to get the ragweed roots out of the ground and we were pulling with all our might. It was like maxing out on squats. And I haven't done back squats in years, so it's like, it's not a good thing. It's like, no wonder our backs hurt. But here's the lesson. You know it's true, but even if you just do a little bit of gardening, yard work, anything along those lines, you learn pretty quickly that what's under the surface is just as important as what's above it. If Kelly and I didn't do anything about the roots to this ragweed, if we just, you know, maybe used a mower, went right over the top of it, or we just ripped the top off, what would happen? Yeah, it would just grow right back, right? You know what would happen. You've experienced this before. So yeah, what's under the surface is just as important as what's above it. But we miss this because everybody sees, and it's easy to see, what's above the surface. This is what everyone sees, what's visible, where all the attention goes. It's what people ooh and ah over. You know, if it's a beautiful plant or a beautiful tree or you're growing a garden. Or in the case of the weeds, it's what we notice and we're like, we really dislike and we want to get it out of our yard. That's all above the surface, but it's actually what's under the surface that makes the most difference. What's going on under the surface determines much of the time what happens above the surface. This is a principle, again, in agriculture or any kind of gardening or yard work that you do. If you take care of what's above the surface, excuse me, what's under the surface, the results will take care of themselves. If you take care, if you focus on, if you spend your time on, if you pay some attention to what's under the surface, the results will take care of themselves. The things you want to grow, you can grow if you take care of what's under the surface. And then if you have things that you don't want to grow, things that are eyesores, things that you want out of there, same thing, just focus on what's under the surface. And this is not just a principle in agriculture, it's actually a great analogy for life as well. Every one of us in our lives, we have things going on above the surface. This is what everyone sees. This is what gets all the attention. When we have success in life, it's above the surface. People see it and they ooh and they ah over it, or maybe it's the thing we want people to see. Or maybe it's our failures in life. That's above the surface. Places where we miss the mark. Things we wish people didn't see, and we may go to extra lengths to try to hide what's above the surface. But oftentimes, whether it's our failures or our successes in life, our response is to focus here and to put our attention here. We try to shape or mold or change what's above the surface. We go into behavior management if there's some part of our life that we don't really like. It's like, okay, how can I shape this or change this? We really take an outside-in approach. That's what's natural to us. But what's true for agricultural is also true for us in life. Our lives not only have things going on above the surface, our lives have a great deal going on under the surface as well. A huge portion of our life that is unseen because it's what goes on inside of us. Each of us is filled with a variety of different desires, hopes, dreams, joys, excitements. the pursuit of purpose and meaning in our lives. That's all under the surface. And we're also filled with some not so shiny things. We have fears, burdens, insecurities. Inside of us is where jealousy often lives, envy, our pride and our arrogance, our selfish ambition, all of these things under the surface. No one can see them. But it's these things that will ultimately play out here. What's going on under the surface will eventually play itself out above the surface in our lives. And this is not a new idea. Jesus actually talked about this 2,000 years ago when he said this. He said, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Have you ever had a moment where you said something or someone else said something and you're kind of like, whoa, where'd that come from? Jesus would say, well, it came from their heart. It was in there all along, and eventually it came out. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. He goes on, he says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, under the surface. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. What's going on under the surface will eventually play itself out above the surface in our lives. So we would be wise to pay attention to the roots of our lives. What's going on under the surface that nobody else can see? And that's what we're gonna do the next 3 weeks in a series we're calling Rooted. How to stay grounded when life shows up, because it will. There's no end to the challenges that life will throw at us. And we all have a way that we desire to show up in those moments when we get pressed, when we get challenged, when we face adversity. But we can't do it from the outside in. We gotta start under the surface. So how do we stay grounded? During this series, we're gonna look at three different passages of scripture, all with a bit of an agricultural analogy tied to it. This is something that Jesus used over and over again, because in the first century, his audience mostly lived in an agricultural society. And so he would just try over and over again to use everyday experiences to tie in or relate to what was going on in the kingdom of God. So today we're gonna start in Matthew chapter 13. If you're new to the Bible, new to church, Matthew lived in Capernaum, which if you look at the Sea of Galilee, it's kind of like at 11 o'clock on the Sea of Galilee, the northwest coast. And Matthew was a tax collector in the Roman Empire. And he grew up Jewish and at some point became a tax collector, which was sort of kind of abandoning and really just a slap in the face to his people in the first century. They despised tax collectors. And so when Jesus is walking along one day and he sees Matthew in his tax collector's booth and he says, hey, you come follow me. All the people around Jesus were like, are you sure, Jesus? You're gonna call him? And Jesus says, yep, I'm gonna call him. And Matthew chooses to follow Jesus, and it changed the world as a result. Because Matthew was in that day and age so far gone. You would think he'd be too far gone for God to rescue, but the message over the last 2,000 years, if you're here today, you feel like you're too far gone for God to rescue or for you to have a relationship with God, Matthew is an example that you are not too far gone today. Matthew starts to follow Jesus. He ends up writing a document about Jesus's life, and he directs it specifically to the ancient Judean audience that he was writing to show that Jesus is their Messiah. That's where we're gonna dive in today. Chapter 13, Matthew, he says this. He says that same day, so some other things were going on in Capernaum, Matthew's hometown. It was actually Jesus's hometown during his ministry as well. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. So he leaves the little downtown area and goes out for a little break. And don't know exactly what was going on, what was going through his mind. Maybe he just needed some time alone, but it doesn't last very long, because Matthew says next that such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. So wherever Jesus went, all the people from the town just left the town and followed Jesus. This is because the day before he had been healing everyone that showed up wherever he was. And so, of course, everyone was drawn to him. So he tries to get a little break, go sit by the ocean, and nope, all these folks show up. And so what does Jesus do? He gets in a boat, pushes away from shore, and it kind of created this amphitheater style effect. If you travel to Capernaum today, you'll notice that the beaches around this, the ancient ruins of Capernaum, they kind of create these little half moon beaches. And the half moon beaches create this amphitheater effect where the sound will travel across the water. Back in November, I was there with a group and we were sitting up the hill, a couple hundred yards up the hill, and out in the water, probably 200-300 yards out in the water, there was a wakeboarding boat. And our guide told us, hey, that's the wakeboarding boat that Jesus learned to ski on. So got to see that, which was really cool. But we're standing, again, we're way up the side of the hill and that boat's way out in the water and they were playing some music and they weren't blaring the music. It wasn't like they had like the bass going and everything else, but you could hear the music crystal clear. And again, we're probably 400 or 500 yards away from where the boat was. So that's what's going on in this moment. As Jesus pushes away from shore and sits in this boat, he starts speaking and all of them can hear him clearly. And this is what he does. This is what Matthew says next. Then he told them many things in parables. A parable is simply just a made-up story used to drive home a specific point. Jesus taught many parables throughout the New Testament. He told him many things in parables, and then he starts this specific parable. He says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. So Jesus tells a parable about a farmer and some seed and some challenges in farming. And at this point, his audience would have been sitting there like, okay, like, yeah, we get that. Like, what's your point? Like, that what you just described is my life, or it's my dad's life, or it's my brother's life. Like, he just described an everyday experience. It would be like if Jesus walked in here today and he was gonna tell a parable and he said, suppose a person got in their car and got on Georgia 400 Monday morning at 8 p.m. and began to drive south. When that person hit exit 12, they hit some traffic and they got slowed down. And when they hit exit 9, they got in some more traffic and they got slowed down. And then when they arrived at exit 5, they had more traffic. And then about 2.5 hours later, they arrived in downtown Atlanta. Like, if Jesus came in here and started a parable that way, we would all kind of be sitting there going, okay, like, yeah, we've all experienced that in here. That is the reality of life around here. So they're kind of sitting there going, okay, Jesus, what's the point? And here's the thing, Jesus typically didn't explain parables. Out of the 40 or so parables we have in the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he only directly explains or unpacks 4 parables. All the others, he just tells and he walks away. But in this instance, thankfully for us today, he explains what he means by the parable. He and his disciples go back and forth, this conversation around, why do you teach in parables all the time? He's talking about that. And finally, you can tell Jesus just gets to a place. He's like, you know what? Okay, let me just explain it to you. This is what he says in verse 18. He says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. So he's going to unpack it for him and just break it down for him. He says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. And here we get the first clue in the parable. He says, what was sown in their heart? Well, what was sown in the parable? Seeds, right? Seeds were sown in the soil. And so the soil in the parable is the heart. And Jesus was not talking about the physical heart. This was not really a category for them in the first century. We think about the organ, right, that pumps blood throughout your body. For them, when they used the word heart, they were really talking about the soul, the core of our being. They were talking about something that's under the surface. When you think about it, if you say, oh, I believe that with all of my heart, or I love you with all of my heart, that's the kind of heart Jesus is talking about in the parable. It's the core of our life. And it's what's under the surface. So the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. And then it says, this is the seed that's sown along the path. This is the first category. And then he continues. He says, the seed falling along rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. When it says the word here, it doesn't mean the Bible. A lot of people use the word as a reference to the Bible these days. And what Jesus is saying when he says they receive the word, he's talking about the message of the kingdom of God that he came to deliver, the new covenant relationship that Jesus came to introduce, his life, his teachings, his death and resurrection, the good news of Jesus. This category, they hear it and receive it, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. They have no root. It doesn't take a significant place in their heart. It doesn't find its way into their soul. It's a head belief, but not a heart belief. And no root, if there's no root, it's gonna be short-lived, Jesus is saying. It's gonna be fleeting. If our faith has no roots to it, it's only a matter of time until it fades away. Why? He tells us next. He says, when trouble and persecution come because of the word, they quickly fall away. I notice that he says when and not if here. It's not if trouble or persecution is coming, it's when. And specifically, it's coming because of the word. Meaning your faith will eventually cost you something. Your faith is eventually gonna have you at a crossroads where to follow Jesus in that moment is gonna cost you something. And if there's no root, Jesus is saying you'll quickly fall away. There's so many different examples of this. For people in his audience, they literally faced persecution and the threat of their life if they followed Jesus in the first century. And there's people in the world today that face that same kind of persecution. For us, thankfully, we don't have to face that level, but we face it in different ways. Our faith is gonna cost us something in different ways. Maybe it's walking into the break room at work and our coworkers are talking about something, they're joking around about something, and we kind of get the gist of what they're talking about, and we know it's like, that's not something to joke about. Our hearts begin to kind of get grieved a little bit because we know it's not honoring to other people as they're talking about that, and they begin to invite us into the conversation. Hey, come over here, talk about it. So we have a decision in that moment. We can stick to our faith, and we can find a way out. We can find a way to redirect the conversation, but if we do, it's gonna cost us something. You might think we're weird, strange. Our reputation may be tarnished, our image may be tarnished. But in that moment, we have a decision to make. And our faith could potentially cost us something. Maybe it's something that God's leading you to do. You need to join a small group to grow your faith, and you know that's the next step. But it's like you think about, oh, the time is gonna, you know, and what about the people in my group? I don't know. And in that moment, it's gonna cost you something to continue to follow Jesus where he's leading you. Maybe God's calling you to serve in some way, serve somewhere in the community, serve somewhere here at our church. And it's like, oh man, I don't know if I have what it takes. I mean, it's a lot of time commitment and I don't know if I'm skilled in that way. It's like, it's gonna require some courage to step up and do that. And it's potentially gonna cost you something to take that step. And if you don't have any root, you're gonna quickly fall away. Students, you've probably experienced this before where kids at school are talking about somebody behind their back and they're wanting you to jump in with them. And in that moment, you know, it's like, wait a second, I know that my faith tells me to do something different. But it's so hard because the socially acceptable thing to do is just to laugh along with their jokes and to jump in with them and ha, yeah, that's great, you know, and I don't wanna be the weird kid. I don't wanna tarnish my reputation. And it's tough to follow Jesus in that moment because your faith will cost you something. And this is why Jesus is emphasizing what's going on under the surface, because having roots to our faith will help us continue to follow him regardless what comes our way. So that's the rocky soil. The next category, he says, the seed falling among thorns refers to someone who hears the word, receives it, believes it, accepts it. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So this category, the person hears the word, receives the word, has roots, but as life goes on, the worries of this life, can anybody think of a worry in this life? Yeah, it's better just to say, can we try to think of a way where we don't have worries in this life? There's so many things that can grab our attention and grab our hearts and cause us to worry in life. And Jesus is saying that that has the potential to crowd out the work that God wants to do in your life. The worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. This is when we trust money and things more than we trust God. This is when we see wealth and stuff as an adequate foundation for our lives. Something that's gonna give us the comfort and the safety that we need. And then we start to rely on those things versus we relying on God. We're all tempted to do it in our own way. And Jesus is saying, if we get pulled into that, it will choke out what God's doing in our life, making it unfruitful. It prevents it from flourishing and being fruitful in our lives. That's the seed that was sown among thorns. And then lastly, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it and has roots and avoids the thorns. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. 100 times what was sown. Think about this for just a moment. This is a massive jump that Jesus is making. I mean, he goes from three categories that aren't fruitful at all of a sudden, to a category that's producing 100 times what was sown. And what Jesus is trying to get us to see is there is so much that our Heavenly Father wants to do in our lives. We have no way of understanding how much he can and will do in our lives if we follow him. And allow our lives to come in alignment with what he is doing. And if we pay attention to what's going on under the surface. Now, one of the ways I like to look at this parable is I like to kind of step back and have a visual of all four categories that Jesus talks about. So that for the visual learners in the room, this might be helpful. But there was four types of soil. There was the path, the rocks, the thorns, in the good soil. All four categories hear. They hear the word. So I love what this means. It just means that God's at work everywhere. Again, when the farmer goes out to sow the seed, he sows and scatters the seed everywhere. God's at work everywhere, whether we see it or not, whether we feel it or not. He's at work. So all four of them hear, only three of them understand. And Jesus uses the word understand and receive kind of interchangeably throughout the parable. So what he means by this is they accept it or they receive it. They don't just hear it, they actually understand it at a deeper level. So these would be the ones that we would consider Christians. They've believed in Jesus. They have in some way chosen, hey, no, I get it. I understand the good news. So what Jesus is saying here, he spends most of the parable talking about Christians. So Jesus is saying you can be a Christian and still not live a fruitful life. You can believe it, receive it, accept it, and still miss out on what God wants to do in and through you. Three of the categories understand. Only two have roots. And lastly, only the good soil produces fruit. And fruit 100x, 60x, 30x. Jesus seems to emphasize the fruit in this parable, that it's all about the fruit, that fruit is what matters. But in order to get to the fruit, you gotta start with the soil. You gotta start with what's under the surface. Now, for years, I'll just admit, for years I read this parable with a twinge of guilt and shame. Anytime I would read this parable, I would begin to kind of ask myself, wait a second, I mean, am I good soil, or am I like among, you know, among thorns, or am I rocky? Because I would look at my life and there'd be things in my life and places in my life, areas of my life, it's like things are going really good, but then there's other areas where it's like, oh, like the deceitfulness of wealth and the worries of this life. And you know, when you face that time, or there are times where I choose to not follow Jesus. Yeah, there are. So I would begin to worry that these categories were permanent and that somehow I wasn't in the good soil category. But the longer I follow Jesus, the more I've studied this scripture, the more I see that these are not permanent. These are the conditions that our soul can take. And they're seasonal. I mean, there's seasons where things will go really well and your faith will be thriving. And then there's other seasons where it seems like you have no root at all. Sometimes it's not seasonal. Sometimes it's even moment by moment. You've experienced this if you've ever gotten up in the morning and like, oh, you're spending time with God and you're praying and you're journaling and you're reading the Bible and your heart, I mean, you and God are just good in that moment. And then you go and get on the road and somebody cuts you off and you lose it all. Like all religion goes out the window at that point. You're like, what? I mean, what a change from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. In that moment, our heart shifted. Our soul shifted. We can move and change between these. But here's the thing about the parable is that Jesus doesn't tell us how. He ends the explanation here and actually begins another parable. There's no, hey, okay, so now here's what you need to do. You know, here's three tips for managing your soil. Get to Pike Nursery, get some Miracle-Gro, you know. He doesn't go practical with it. And he spent a ton of time, a good deal of this chapter in the Gospel of Matthew is dedicated to this parable. But Jesus's point is so important. It's the reason why he spent so much time on it. Here's his point. His point is simply to pay attention to what is going on under the surface of your life. Pay attention to what is going on under the surface of your life. Pay attention to what's going on in your heart, in your soul. What others can't see that only you can see. Pay attention to what's going on under the surface of your life because it will eventually determine what happens above the surface. Don't just focus on the external things. Don't try to just shape outcomes and shape results. Pay attention to your roots. Pay attention to that unseen part of your life and what's going on there, because it's ultimately going to play itself out in your life to those around you. Pay attention. So that's what we're going to do today. We're simply going to observe. Week one, there's nothing to do. Now, I realize that we have overachievers in the room, and y'all may hear that and you go, wait a second, Adam, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And here's what I'll tell you. Come back next week, okay? That's something you can do because we're going to get more practical as this series goes along. But today, we're just going to observe. We're just going to pay attention. And if you don't know where to start, I'm going to give you a couple questions just to kickstart the journey. Here's the first one that you can ask yourself. Am I growing more or less easily irritated these days? Am I growing more easily irritated or am I growing less easily irritated these days? From the news to your neighbors, there are plenty of things that get under your skin, okay? How quickly do things bother you? How often are you stirred up and anxious and angry and irritated about something? This is an indication of the condition of your heart, the condition of what's going on underneath the surface. It's hard to bring about the kingdom of God when we're all wound up over small stuff. How easily irritated are you these days? And I love that it says, am I growing? Am I growing more or less? So not just like today, how are you doing? But compared to 6 months ago, compared to a year ago, are you getting less easily irritated? What direction are you moving? Second question is like it. It's kind of more in a positive sense. Am I growing more or less easily encouraged these days? When was the last time you were really encouraged? Encouraged by what God was doing in the world. Encouraged by what God was doing in your world, in your life personally. When was the last time you were encouraged by the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news? Was it yesterday? Was it this morning as we sang about his faithfulness? Or was it 6 months ago? Or was it so long ago that you can't remember? Are you growing more or less easily encouraged these days? If we're following Jesus and we're in alignment with what he's doing and he's active in our lives, it should fill us with encouragement. We should be growing less irritated and growing more encouraged by the day. Again, there's nothing to do about that today. Today is simply observe where you're at. Pay attention to what's going on under the surface. Pay attention to what's going on in your soul. What Jesus refers to in the parable as the soil. Pay attention. And we'll pick it up there next week in part 2 of Rooted. Let's pray together. Father, you are so gracious and you're so good. Even just that part of the parable where the farmer goes out and casts the seed everywhere. We could stop right there, just that one piece, and think about your goodness and how you're at work everywhere, even when we don't see it, even when we can't feel it. We're grateful for that today. Thank you for Jesus, for his wisdom, for his teaching, for his words, that even 2,000 years later, just they speak right to the heart of things for us. Would you help us respond accordingly today? And thank you for his death and resurrection that sets us all free and gives us new life in his name. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.